Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Unity, the free personal media server. Unity makes it easy to access and stream all the files and media stored on your computers from your mobile devices. To download Unity for free, visit getunity.com/AAA. That's getunity.com/AAA. Welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 261, recorded on Tuesday, April 12th, 2016. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Florence Ion.
I didn't hear you say that again.
I'm Florence Ion.
There we go. Okay, I just really wanted to hear you say it again, because you are Florence Ion.
And I'm Ron Richards. Today.
Ron, sadly, Ron could not be with us.
I know.
It's okay, though.
I actually am really sad when he's not here.
Yeah.
I don't think he understands that. I should send him a fruit basket or something. He's like, I care about you.
Yes. I think that's that would work for Ron.
I agree.
I think you understand Ron, too.
I do.
The way people don't normally understand.
We bicker, but we get each other.
Yeah, that's true. We do get some emails where they're just like, geez, Ron, lay off, Flo. Are you okay with
brotherly love?
Yeah, okay.
It's like Philadelphia.
Okay. Alrighty then. The town.
The city of brotherly love.
The city. The city, not the movie.
Okay. No, that was a sad movie.
It was. Many people probably watching this have never even heard of the movie.
Greatest performances.
Anyways, I don't know where we're starting, but there we go. Joining us after quite a long hiatus, actually. It's been a while. J.R. Rayfield, author and host of, Android Intelligence. What is this intelligence you speak of, JR?
I can neither confirm nor deny any intelligence. It's not on me. I'm not the intelligent one. It's good to see you guys, but I've got to say, I'm a little insulted that Ron took tonight of all nights off. I mean, what, to organize his Pez collection? What's he doing? That's just not cool.
Does he have a Pez collection?
I assume, right?
Probably. Yeah, I think we decided prior to the show that because Ron is not here, he's the easy target, and we can throw all our aggression at him.
I hope this doesn't happen when I'm out. Jeez.
Yeah, I know, right? This is why you don't take time away from All About Android. This is Ron's cupboard, and as you can see, he's been collecting Pez for a really long time.
Is this really Ron's cupboard?
Yep, this is an actual photo from Ron's apartment.
This is actually Facebook live streaming video from Ron's live webcam pointed at his cupboard.
It's just there all the time when he's out.
Seriously.
BRB. Look, it's my collection.
It's like the shared puddle experience. We heard of this a couple of weeks ago where everybody was fascinated watching a live streaming video of a puddle. Because it was a shared experience. Now you can watch Ron's.
It's like the Shebas and the watermelon explosion and
all of the above. I don't know if Ron actually has a Pez obsession, but I wouldn't be surprised.
We're going to go with that. There.
I like it.
I like it.
It's believable.
So before we kind of get into things, JR, tell us a little bit. I mean, when you were on last time, it was Android Power.
Yeah.
Now it's Android Intelligence. And you've got some pretty interesting, cool things going on. Tell people about it.
Yeah, so it's been a pretty crazy month here at J.R. Rayfield International Headquarters, which is this lovely and strangely musty room you see here behind me. the thing is, there are a ton of great Android news sites out there, and so what I've always tried to do is do something a little different, something that can serve kind of as a side dish to the news that people already read. And so it's been Android Power for about 6 years now. Android Intelligence was basically a refocusing of that and what I've been doing. It's the same kind of in-depth original advice and analysis that I've been doing for years, just with a name that better fits how the column and sort of the mobile landscape in general have evolved since then. And with some fun new treats sprinkled in too. So one of those, there it is a podcast I just launched today. Same name, Android Intelligence, and same basic idea, really. The way I see it, we've already got outstanding shows like this very one that handle the more topical weekly kind of Android discussion and do it really well. So if we're going to do a podcast, I wanted to bring something different to the picture, that something that people could enjoy as a supplement to this kind of thing, not trying to, you know, do the same thing. And not that I could even compete. This is the big show right here, you know? So what Android Intelligence, the podcast is, The podcast is basically a monthly show, in-depth interviews with different interesting people from the Android world. That first one that you were seeing a second there, which went online today or Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this, is a one-on-one chat I had with the guy in charge of all things Android, Chrome OS, Chromecast, pretty much everything at Google these days, Hiroshi Lockheimer. So it was a lot of fun. We talked to some about his background, stories from the early days of Android, got into broader questions about where Android's going, some of the tough topics surrounding it, like the ever-present upgrade situation, what Google can do, should do, is doing, may do, and even the touchy, somewhat controversial topic of Chrome OS, all the reports of it's being folded into Android. Wait, it's not. Google denied it, but did they really? Is it semantics? So it was good just to kind of sit down and be able to get a little straight talk and just have fun. I mean, he's a nice guy and funny and interesting to talk to. So
yeah, very, very laid back interview. Really liked it a lot. You really got to know, you know, on a personal level through the interview, Hiroshi Lockheimer. We like to refer to him as Hiroshi the hero around here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's some parallel between how cool and casual Hiroshi is and sort of like what the future of Android is because of that. Yeah, because there's very much, I feel like with Android, it's kind of like the United States and whoever's at the helm sort of drives the, you know, the feel for Android. And so we had, you know, one thing happening with Sundar Pichai and now we have Hiroshi and he's like cool and laid back and transparent to, in a sense. And so I'm curious.
Like the future of Android and laid back. I think Hiroshi's awesome, and I think he's going to do a great job and everything like that. I hope that the approach for Google on Android is not to be super.
No.
I hope that Google takes more of more control over the platform than it has in the past.
Absolutely.
And you know, as far as like personality, you know, and how that is imprinted on the future of Android, those things seem to go against each other. But thankfully, it doesn't always necessarily work out that way, you know?
Plus, you know, I think one part, I think one area where it could make a difference, something that he talked about a little in our interview was the fact that he has regular meetings. He's the guy who goes out and meets with the different manufacturers and carriers and, you know, the various people that they consider partners. And of course, those are the people who are typically in one way or another involved in things like upgrades being delayed. And you read about what people say on the inside about Hiroshi and the way he conducts himself, and it fits with just talking to him, his personality. You can see where someone like that sitting down in a meeting is going to be a different kind of meeting than someone in a button-up suit. I don't know that Google ever had anybody super formal, but, you know, someone conducting a meeting who's just kind of a chill, laid-back guy and can relate to people easily. Maybe it'll help with relations. We can only hope. It certainly sounds like he's trying. He's aware of issues out there and wants to see things get better. So hopefully it will make a difference in some way. I guess I should say, too, I said all that stuff about the podcast, but didn't actually say where it is. You can find it in most of the apps. It takes a couple of days for them to circulate and update. But, yeah, if you just go to podcast.androidintel.net, you can find a link to subscribe and the RSS feed and all that, because searching in apps may or may not show up for a few days until they, you know, update their indexes and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it can take a little bit of time for that to trickle through. But I have to say, fantastic first get. I mean, the Android guy, pretty much.
Yeah.
The new Android guy that nobody has really heard from yet. So it's kind of cool. Good job, JR.
Good job.
Problem is, where do you go from here? I just got to quit now. It's like, all right, it's all for me, folks.
Well, I did that anyways. All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So Android Intelligence, look for it. Congratulations. Big time congrats. And it's just really great to get you back. It's nice to have you back after a few months away. We've got a lot to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
Of course, we're going to be discussing, JR, you had a report card for OEMs and their dismal upgrade path to Marshmallow. We'll talk a little bit about that. Google's consideration of Swift as a first-class language for Android, potentially. The HTC 10 announcement. We've got some LG news. With them doing some interesting friendly things, Google's progress in accessibility in the form of apps, and a whole lot more. Brian, I've given you plenty of content to pull from. I expect to be wowed. It's time for the news.
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure.
Yes, it is. I want to see what you do with it.
This just in, Hiroshi's new title is Air Captain, and you will see him soon flying his air dirigible. Stay tuned for more on Android News.
His air dirigible?
Dirigible.
Dirigible.
Air dirigible?
That's what they used to call it.
That's a really hard hard word to use.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, Brian.
I know, with all that pressure leading up to that, you pulled through, Brian.
It's an old-timey way of saying blimp.
Uh-oh.
Okay. A dirigible.
All right. I'll take it. Okay, so first things first. Apple's Swift programming language. It went open source about 4 months ago. Right about that time, sources say that Google met with others, including Facebook and Uber, just name a few, to consider making Swift its, quote, first-class language or Android. The intention wouldn't be for Swift to necessarily replace Java, but the thought is that Swift has broad upside compared to Java, and it being open source, of course, means Google wouldn't have to change its open source structure in order to do it. Now, we've heard a lot, you know, over the last couple of years, it seems like at this point, of kind of Google's issues with, you know, regarding Java and, you know, along with Oracle, and, you know, they've got this ongoing dispute and everything like that. So you could maybe see this as kind of the result of that, maybe Google protecting itself a little bit, peeling it away from Oracle. I'm not intensely familiar with Swift as a language necessarily.
Nope.
But if this is a broad sweeps, like replacement of the first class language that you know Android is supported by, that kind of sounds like a big deal if that were to happen.
I see it as more of like making a move like Microsoft that they did with Visual Studio, which is allow, you know, all sorts of different code to come in so you can use it for everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just assuming Google's like, hey, you're making an iOS app. Can you make an Android one too, please?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. It's easy. Mm-hmm. Just do it. 2-in-1.
What do you think, JR? Do you think this would be a big deal in the world of Google? Do you think it would be kind of a pain in the butt for developers? Because it seems like it would be like pulling up the carpet and redoing it.
Yeah, it's always hard to know with this kind of thing, and especially when it's still kind of speculative at this point. I've got to think it would probably be more relevant for developers than for users. If they're going to implement a change like this, surely one would hope it's not going to roll out and actually affect any devices until it's, you know, more or less seamless in terms of user experience. I mean, maybe there would be some benefits in terms of stability or availability of things or ease of developers bringing things over. But yeah, if I were a developer, I would probably be watching that pretty closely, because it does sound like it could have some pretty serious implications for the people who actually make this stuff.
Also kind of reminds me, like, we've talked a lot on this show about just kind of the inherent need on the platform version after version. It's obvious that one of the big recurring problems is this whole update problem, is the fact that Google is not able to push out updates on all devices the way you know we would hope, in, you know, from a security standpoint and all that kind of stuff. That kind of thing would require a kind of a rewrite of Android, the infrastructure underneath, in order to make that possible. And that maybe someday this is a high enough priority for Google to do that, to just be like, look, you know, Android got to this point. We've rewritten everything underneath to enable these new, you know, this new kind of update method to tackle its one of its most significant issues at this point. Maybe something like this allows for that. If they already kind of have to start from square one anyways, maybe this allows Google to, in the process, kind of nip some of that stuff in the bud and take care of it.
I'm taking in your opinion because it's really heavy. It's like really intense. I'm just thinking about
it's a lot. It's very speculative.
Speculative. Yeah. It's just making me think about how angry that would make me if that were the.
Why would that make you angry?
I don't know. Well, I'm not a developer, so I'm not coming at it from a developer's perspective. I'm coming at it from a user perspective, and I don't know. That just sounds like such an unnecessary overhaul. But from my perspective, I just see it as, why can't you just rein in the manufacturers? I blame them for a lot of what's happened, but
blame is one thing. Doing something about it that makes positive, you know, change is an entirely different thing. And if Google is kind of behind the operating system, maybe they have the ability to do something about it. But it would, like I said, it would require a lot of change.
But also, actually, I take that back. I don't completely blame the manufacturers. I blame just sort of our smartphone culture that we have here in the U.S. with carriers running everything. And
sure.
Also, I'm always coming from that place because, you know, my carrier's always hurting me. So.
It's okay.
You know, whatever.
There are other carriers.
Yeah, you know, you're in a relationship for this long. You just kind of keep
it
going.
Kick the carrier to the curb. Kick
you
it
just,
to the curb.
You know, got to think about the kids. They're not in college yet, so.
Okay, all right, fair enough. What were you going to say,
they're being abusive. Well, first of all, Flo's carrier's clearly being abusive, so we've got to get her out of this. I mean, it's not cool, Flo. We got to
Lord, Verizon, the things you do to me, like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I was just going to say, I think we'd be talking about a pretty fundamental change for something like that to fully work, because there are so many things we can blame, and I know we're going to talk about upgrades more in a minute, but so many fingers we can point at problems with the upgrade situation. But part of it is almost just an inherent nature of, an effect of the inherent nature of Android as a platform, and the fact that it's open source and that manufacturers or anyone, you know, just some random person can take the code and play around with it. But it also means manufacturers can change it. You get TouchWiz, you get HTC Sense, you get whatever else in between. And so it gets pretty difficult to imagine a situation where you could still have that and have Google just roll out updates, short of completely separating what an update means and making an update just like the engine room kind of stuff, which incidentally is something that I asked Hiroshi about on that podcast. And he said that, you know, it's something they're always looking at of ways to make it more modular, and it could theoretically be possible, and they've definitely thought about that. So you never know, but that would be a pretty big change to Android, at least in terms of the structure and what we think of as Android really meaning versus like the user-facing stuff, the user interface and what you see, which is what a lot of which, you know, the stuff that manufacturers tend to get their fingers in and mess with.
Sure enough.
We've got more developer-y news today. Mm-hmm. Today's news segment is very developers, as our
Ballmer
good friend Steve Ballmer once said before he owned a basketball team. Android Studio 2.0 is now out ahead of the Google I.O. Developers Conference, which is kind of fun for developers. Now you can kind of tinker around with the new version of Android Studio while you're figuring out what the heck is so great about Android N. Features instant run for seeing changes made with your apps in a near instant, hence the name.
Really nice.
Which is very nice, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Android emulator is now 3 times faster than the previous emulator, which means ADB push speeds are 10 times faster. Also, there's a new UI and sensor controls, which should just make it more friendly for you to use. There's also a cloud test lab for testing your apps across different devices and configurations via Google's data centers, which will be very helpful. And I wonder if that'll help us with updates, huh? There's also app indexing for creating the proper structure to work with the Google app indexing service, and a new GPU debugger for identifying graphics rendering issues, which is very game friendly.
Yeah, I mean, these are tools that we've known about. These, it's kind of been in a beta. Mm-hmm. Now it's official. I'm sure it's going to be at least a minor talking point at the keynote at Google I.O. Like early last month, we rolled out blah, blah, blah.
And they'll probably have a session like teaching you about some new stuff and tool tips and stuff.
Exactly.
And I just, whenever I look at Android Studio, I just think about how like awful Eclipse was. Because I used to use Eclipse just to take screenshots before screenshots was a native thing.
Right.
Android.
Oh, man, you had to jump through so many hoops
and
to do that.
The only reason I took screenshots is for social media, because I was writing about Apple at the time. But I really wanted to take screenshots of my wallpapers. And so looking at Android Studio, it's so pretty. It's so nice. And
but you don't
simple.
Even have to touch it, because you have a screen capture or a screenshot capability right in your device. So it doesn't matter anymore.
I know.
That used to be so painful.
I know.
Having to go through all those steps just to take a screenshot on your phone. I remember when they first made it a native thing where you could do it just on a phone. It's like, oh, hallelujah. This is amazing.
What can I take a screenshot of next?
It was the same like when Android Wear first came out. It wasn't quite as bad because it was more recent, but you still had to like hook it up to your computer and go into ADB. And it's,
hey,
so much
you know easier. What? That's how iOS people felt when they first got copy and paste.
True.
You're dropping bombs right now. Boom. Okay, so that's good news for developers. I'm sure more coming up. Well, definitely more coming up at Google I.O., and I can't wait, by the way. We're all going to be there, right?
7 weeks? I don't know.
We're all going to be there?
Yeah, I will be there.
I'm going to
be there
all
3 days, hanging out in Mountain View, working in my tan.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've got to miss this year. Bad time. I know. I've got stuff going on, personal stuff. My brother's getting married. We're getting ready to move.
You can get married again some other time.
There's
only one Google I.O. a year.
Yep. This is the first one I've missed in a while, too, so I'm kind of bummed. And it's a weird one, too, with, like, it being a shoreline. I mean, as we all are.
I know. I'm planning on having a picnic.
What is going on with that?
Anybody wants to join me for a picnic?
Well, I'll be there. If you're having a picnic, I'm there.
No, we should have a picnic on the lawn.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Dial me in. I'll just put me in a monitor like this, and I'll just sit off to the side.
We can hang out you in with one of, like, my many tablets that I have.
You'll be our telepresence robot. Token telepresence.
We have one of those at the office, too, with the little rollies. We can put you on that and roll you in.
So we got options here. You might be in your tuxedo at the time, but you know, we won't judge.
I'll look nice. I'll make
looking at your phone while your brother's getting married.
So, JR, tell us a little bit about your report card for Android upgrades. You do this fairly regularly. You check in and to see kind of the manufacturers that are releasing devices, the promises they make for upgrading to the next version of Android, and how they follow through on said promises. And it's not looking so good for a lot of manufacturers. Some of them that have had a history of making some pretty big promises.
Moto.
And definitely not delivering.
Moto.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we talking about Motorola?
Maybe a little bit. What are your thoughts on this report card? How was this semester?
Was this semester exactly?
Let me step up to my little professor stand here. And I've been doing these for a while, and this one was especially rough. I mean, there are always some bad grades and disappointments, but this one was particularly rough, which is, I think, especially frustrating to see because, you know, we're seeing the early developer releases and all these things that are supposed to help. But what you're seeing there, HTC did actually really well, and HTC has been doing better each year. Google, of course, did well with Nexus, as it always does. I think HTC is kind of the big winner here. They've been going up, decreasing their time to roll it out. They've been doing great with communication, and they've really established themselves now as the kind of go-to, if you're not getting a Nexus, the go-to player to actually get timely and reliable upgrades. LG, you saw there. LG kind of always does okay. I think they did a little better this year than last, but still not great, and they're horrible at communicating. And then once you get past those three, it's like F, 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 F.
Yeah, that was so bad.
That bad.
Page two of your report is pretty hard to read.
It's brutal. For Motorola, I mean, I actually had to change. I have a scale I use, which takes into account the length of days it took to for the upgrade to reach the current flagship, previous gen flagship, and the communication. I had to add in like a little asterisk.
I thought that was funny. Because they promised. They said it would come out soon after the priv came out in November, and like it still doesn't have.
Oh, BlackBerry too. Yeah, no, they just had nothing. But for Moto, I mean, they did technically roll it out quick to one version of you know their phone, but then they also just drop support for all the U.S. carrier versions of the Moto X.
That
so there had to be a little exception.
And the
Moto E too. Which this actually, just for the purpose of simplicity and consistency, I just look at flagships here because it gets into tricky water
if
you try to. Once you go past there, it's like, what do you define as a mid-range? And some companies have like 10 of them, some companies have two, but even in terms of flagships, I mean, Motorola has gone from being sort of the shining star great example of what an Android manufacturer should be to just sort of being the bottom of the barrel tisk tisk one.
Not a good look for Lenovo, quite frankly.
I think it's
there's obviously a culture shift going on there, and they have different priorities perhaps than what Motorola had. I mean, maybe we were a little, maybe our golden era was influenced by the Google ownership. And, you know, I don't think Google gave them a leg up on getting early access to it. They were always really adamant about they had that firewall and all that. But Google has different priorities in making hardware than a company like Lenovo does. I mean, Google's looking to get people using Google services and make it a good Android experience. Lenovo is looking to turn a profit on hardware like most hardware manufacturers. So hopefully the transition will balance out and they'll get reasonably good again in the future. But I think it's going to be hard to forgive and forget this one. I mean, it's a level of trust that's hard to get back after you kind of just stab people in the back like that, as they did.
Most definitely. I also found it interesting that Samsung, the last generation of flagship, got the update before the current generation. I think it was Samsung, anyways, that I read where it was like the previous generation got it before.
I'm just now getting the marshmallow update for the Galaxy S7 Edge on Verizon. By the way, I've stopped using the Galaxy S7 Edge. It literally just sits in a pouch on my desk at home because even with the Lumi case on, it's like, Why bother?
Why bother? From what perspective? Like, it's not powerful enough? It's too delicate?
Well, there's actually a couple reasons for why I had to stop using it. And part of that is because Verizon got mad at me for I kept swapping out SIMs. But
so,
the other
Verizon,
thing...
why does that matter?
Well...
Jeez.
I'll tell you about that story later.
Drop Verizon, seriously.
Yeah. I know. Every time I talk about it, people are like, kill it. And I'm like, I'm having a really...
It's an abusive relationship, this whole Verizon thing. Like, yeah. Get out.
I know.
Excuses flow. You got to quit.
I just feel
excuses.
Like if I keep yelling about it, they'll just hear me. And then just
I don't think so. I don't think Verizon cares.
No, they can't hear you now. No.
Nice one, JR. Nice one. And title. I feel like we should segue from there because
I don't know. I have to write that down.
There's no way we can ruin that moment.
Can't hear you now. Thank you for the title. All right. Before we get into hardware, let's take a minute to thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android, and that's Unity. Unity is a free app that basically unifies your media, lets you do things like seamlessly streaming and accessing all of your videos, your photos, music, documents that happen to be stored across all your computers, all your mobile devices, streaming that all and giving you access. All your files are kept secure as well as private on your own devices. So there's no clouds, there's no middlemen involved. Setup is quick, it's easy, no network configuration or ongoing management of any kind. So it's kind of like direct connection. And Unity works cross-platform, currently Android, iOS, Windows, and Mac. Here's a few awesome things you can do with Unity. You can stream your video and music collections on demand. So if you have a large collection on your computer, you can stream that with Unity. You can even access iTunes music on your Android device, which is nice. Access all of your photos on all of your computers, including Lightroom catalogs, Apple photo libraries, all of them combined. Post photos stored on your computer directly to Instagram. You can get to those documents across multiple computers while you're out on the go, so you don't have to have everything stored on your phone, or maybe you don't have it in that particular cloud account, all that kind of stuff. Unify all of your content across your computers into one single organized menu, so you're not looking in a million different places. You're doing that through the Unity app. Search all the content across your computers at once. Excellent cross-platform, cross-device search. Download any of your media to your mobile devices for unlimited offline access, and you can keep large files off your phone, but yet you'll still have access to them through Unity, and it's completely free. So to connect your devices with Unity, all you have to do is install Unity on your computers, then download the Unity mobile app. And here's where you need to go. Visit getunity.com/AAA. You'll download Unity for free and you'll get unlimited access to all your stuff on the go. Very simple. Get Y-O-U-N-I-T-Y. Y-O-U-N-I-T-Y. Do you remember that song? .com/AAA. That's get Y-O-U-N-I-T-Y.com/AAA. And we thank Unity for their support of All About Android. Sorry I sang. All right, let's check out some hardware. All right, Flo, tell us a little bit about the Friends, the ongoing saga of LG's Friends. Why am I going to get LG's Friends in my life?
Okay, so what do you do when your child's at school and has no friends? You make some for them.
Oh.
And that's what LG is doing with its developer conference on Friday. It is inviting people to make friends and modules for the G5. Now, I just want to clarify that you can't just willy-nilly go and make friends. So
that's true.
The way this is going to work is you can use the SDK for the existing friends, which is the 360 Cam and the 360 VR,
okay,
which is made by LG and was announced alongside the G5. Or you can use the HDK, which stands for Hardware Development Kit, and submit your own idea to LG to co-develop a module with them for the G5. The idea is just to make it fun, open it to developers, get their insights, and
get people
hopefully
excited.
Get people excited. Give people a reason to buy this phone.
Yes, that.
But not just that. Also, for down the line, you know, LG has a lot of faith that they can bring an element of fun to the Android world, mm-hmm, with this idea of modularity for the phone. And just this idea that you have one phone, you invest in accessories for it. You know, I kind of agree with what Ron said last week on the show, which is that it's a business model. This is going to be their business model.
Whether it's a successful business model remains to be seen. Yes, whether they can get people excited and interested and invested in the platform. That's a big hurdle, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you're curious about that hurdle that developers are going to have to go through, there's actually a developer conference this Friday in San Francisco for LG and its friends. And I will be there seeing what developers are interested in doing with these HDKs and SDKs, and I don't know.
We'll see how many people show up.
I'm also curious. It's a developer conference at 6 o'clock at night and on a Friday.
That's interesting.
Do you guys actually get the feeling anyone's going to get on board with this? Because it's so specific. It's kind of like even when LG tried to get I forget the name of the feature. One of their features where you can size an app down, quick something, where they were going to have other people come on board.
They killed it because nobody was making anything for it.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is an even bigger investment. It's not just like adding some code into your app and optimizing it so that it'll run on their phone. This is like developing something specifically for this one phone.
Actual manufacturing is included in this.
So then in order for anybody to really, you know, get invested in this from a time, monetary standpoint, all that kind of stuff, those people are going to have to know that there's an audience out there, a potential pool of people. There's this, you know, supposed, or one would hope anyways, this gigantic pool of people, and a certain much smaller percentage are the ones that are actually going to spend money on friends, let alone the friend that you just created and spent all your time and money on. From that perspective, it does not sound very promising. Although, I applaud LG for doing something different. It's just, I think when you're doing something this different, it's really hard to get momentum in your favor. Maybe if it was a company as widely adopted in the U.S., let's say, just U.S. as an example, as Samsung, maybe then it would be a little bit easier because you know you're going to have that footprint of devices sold, and that's a much larger pool. LG, I think, has a little bit more to prove as far as that's concerned, and there's a lot to expect.
So I just want to end with this quote from Dr. Wu, who is the vice president of smartphone product planning at LG. He said, "We believe that by giving developers the same tools that inspired us from the LG G5's inception, we're going to see innovations ranging from toys to medical tools to things we haven't even thought of ourselves."
In a perfect world.
So we'll see. I will be there on Friday. I'm hoping there's alcohol. Because it's Friday night at a developer conference. They're ready to be alcohol.
That's what your purse is for. Sneak it in.
That's true. If you need a flask, just let me know.
Collection of mini bottles. Every time I go to BevMo to buy a wine for friends coming over, I'll go to the little bottle section and be like, I need a Maker's for some time, or a little thing of gin. Who knows?
Someday. I don't need this someday in the future.
About my drinking habit on the Android show.
It's okay. It's okay. We're all there with you.
That's what they need for the LG. The friend that's just like a little flask. That's into the bottom.
Oh my God, that's great. All right, here's my friend. I got a flask on my phone. It's perfect. Because you're going to have your phone on you anyway. And if you have a wallet case, it's even better. You have phone, wallet, and flask.
And a breathalyzer thing that you can blow into.
Oh my God. Let's make this.
Pitch that on Friday. We'll go on this together.
I think you could find
it. Split.
Yes, I think you're right, JR. I think this needs to be pitched. This needs to happen.
Yes, there's a little thing for like a little shot. And then the other way, you breathe. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm already imagining it in my head.
Maybe this G5's, maybe they're onto something. I'm just saying.
Yeah. They need the right imagination. That's what we're here for.
That's what Dr. Wu asked for, imagination. Yeah. So let's do it.
All right. So moving on to another device that may or may not, I don't know, jury's still out as far as if it's going to help a company like HTC, that I think we're probably all at least in agreement to some degree. HTC is a company that personally I want to see succeed. They've done really cool things in the past. They've had a hard go the last couple of years. Well, they announced their HTC 10 device. I ordered it this morning. I'm supposed to get it early May, and I'm looking forward to it. Looks like a pretty nice device, actually. And thankfully, they changed things up, which they didn't do very much on the last iteration of their flagship. It was like, what are the major differences here? Made it really difficult to understand why you would want to buy it. This time, there are a lot of differences. I mean, broad strokes, 5.2-inch. quad HD display, Snapdragon 820 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, micro SD card slot, your standard 32, 64 gigs.
Same as the other guys.
Okay, so you've got those. Their cameras are a little different, right?
Very.
It's the 12 megapixel HTC UltraPixel.
Yes.
To basically f1.8 aperture, so good for low light. Records high-res audio, has optical image stabilization. And this is, by the way, not just the rear-facing camera. This is also the front-facing camera. So both cameras, pretty awesome. If you're selfie-inclined, your selfies are going to look amazing. Let's see. What else? A big kind of heading into the high-res audio thing pretty solidly. Like, they're obviously hoping that this is a draw for some people. They've got an improved super loud headphone amp in there.
So now when it's all the way up, you plug in your headphones, it'll be even more loud.
Yeah, but it'll drive nicer headphones as a result. So if you're an audiophile, that's something you might look for.
I was going to ask you, since you are a musician / audio person, can you hear the difference?
That's a very, very charged question.
Okay.
No. I mean, it is. Like, audiophiles will probably tell you that they can.
Mm-hmm.
I produce music in an uncompressed form plenty of times, and I record at 24-bit, I think 48 kilohertz. I'm not doing 96 kilohertz. I certainly feel like I hear the difference.
Yes.
In my computer recording space versus like bouncing it down to like an MP3 form or something like that. But it's really hard to tell. It's really hard to know exactly how much of that is up here. You know what I mean? A lot of scientific studies say that they're above a certain frequency, you're not hearing anything, whether you think you are or not. And so the high-res audio, a lot of people think it's like smoke and mirrors.
That's why I asked your opinion, because that was the speculation for the HTC 10 was that, oh, they're going to use this as their big marketing pool, but it doesn't, I don't know.
I mean, anybody, I would definitely say that, you take something like vinyl and you take something like MP3.
Yeah.
Absolutely, there is a big difference.
Yeah.
The closest that you can get to vinyl, let's say, in the digital world, is to increase your bit rate and increase your sampling rate, which is kind of what they're talking about here. High-res audio goes above and beyond. And then having nice hardware to support that on playback. So they're certainly appealing. You know, it's kind of like the Pono player that we heard about. And I think it just really depends on what your sensitivity is to music. Some ears, yes, absolutely. People have great hearing. They're audiophiles. They feel that they can hear the difference, and I trust that they probably do. And if it's worth the extra money for them, then great.
You kind of can. Like, I will say, I give credit to HTC, because I feel like with the M7 and the M8, that sort of drove other OEMs to pay particular attention to the speakers on the phone.
Yeah.
And, like, now you can get, I mean, okay, so real talk, the Bluetooth is broken in my car right now. It's a long story. So I've been literally streaming podcasts from my phone and putting it on loud, and I put it in a little cup holder to amplify it.
Mm-hmm.
And it works really well, and I wouldn't have been able to do that.
I do the same thing, and I've been doing the same thing for the last 8 months.
But
today, my replacement stereo got delivered, so I have to do this project.
I like that we're all in the same.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It made me think. I loved the M8 because of how loud it was, and I could like listen to podcasts easily.
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering if we're like reaching this, if it's still a marketing grab for HTC, and if they should just take a different angle and just say, hey, we're dang good. Remember us? We were here from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's a good marketing angle. We were here from the beginning.
What's weird here too is that they are doing all that focus on audio, but yet the speakers aren't actually I think maybe they're still called boom sound, but they're not like the front facing speakers that you were just talking about anymore. So it's a focus
That's
on something
right.
that maybe is going to be less impactful for more
people.
With the whole audio thing, Jason, tell me if I'm right here. Let's bring it back to booze. Would it be equivalent to saying like the $15 bottle of wine versus the $50 bottle of wine? You're going to get people who will swear they can tell the difference, but then you always wonder, if you just gave them unmarked cups and told them that this one was really expensive, would they think it was better?
Depends on where the grapes were grown.
I think that's a pretty good analogy to a certain degree. Although I'm sure there are plenty of people who are in the chat room and plenty of people who are listening who are yelling at me right now for saying that. But I think ultimately what it boils down to is everybody has a different perception of what sounds good. And there's no way for me to put my myself into your ears and tell you what you are hearing is wrong. So I think what it boils down to is things sound good to different people, and if they're willing to pay the extra money mm-hmm. for it, and or if it's of a high enough priority, and not to mention content, right? Like the content you're going to get through iTunes or you're going to get through Google Play, that's all compressed MP3. So if you're doing this high-res audio, you're going to have to go to a new place to get your audio files.
Oh, God, they're going to go to Tidal.
Or you're going to have to, you know, I don't know, capture them yourself from your vinyl in high-res audio. I don't know what the method there is.
People
I think it's
that.
Just, yeah, Tidal. Yeah, Tidal's one way to do that. Yeah. But So
how does the HTC-10 sound to you guys?
I'll tell you what I think is pretty
audio,
awesome. Right. In general,
transition.
Yes, I like it. Their protection is pretty awesome for a guy who's dropped and broken.
They've
the
had
screens.
It though. They had it with the last
they?
Phone.
Okay, see, and I completely forgot about that. But having a full year of protection when you drop the device and the screen breaks, cracks. Yes, I'm too familiar with that. But that's pretty nice. Free replacement. I think the phone sounds very interesting, and I cannot wait to play with it. I really like the design of it, too. I think it looks really nice.
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
It does look nice.
Is it different enough?
Come on, guys. HTC makes nice phones, okay? Except for the HTC.
And aside from just the form, you know, I think we can't underestimate or downplay the value of the software, too, because HTC has really been going in a good direction with that. This is closer to a stock Android kind of thing, and that's only going to help them with what we were talking about before, the fact that already they were doing great relatively speaking with updates and other than Google about the only manufacturer that was really doing respectably well and providing reliable and timely ones. And now that they're going closer to a stock approach and doing less heavy modifications to the user interface, I mean, logically that's only going to help them get them out even faster. And everybody loves to complain about upgrades, but the truth is you kind of vote with your wallet, and HTC is the one that's doing it well, aside from Nexus, of course. So if upgrades are important to you, I think there's a pretty strong argument to be made to look at a phone like this, if not a Nexus phone, as an option. Because if you buy a Galaxy phone, you're going to get some nice things. You're probably not going to get fast upgrades, though. It's just
no,
reality.
You're not.
No.
No. Your camera will be amazing, but your upgrades will never come. That's the whole point of Samsung.
there is no perfect world.
I mean, it's not entirely Samsung's fault, but I don't know. I'm really wondering if I'm going to go back to HTC this year, because I was using the 1M8 until the GS6 came out.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it looks pretty compelling. You can get $100 off your pre-order right now.
That I was also going to mention that for anybody who was interested. You can get $100 off a pre-order, which is nice.
They have the code.
AT&T is not selling it, so you won't get it subsidized there. Just buy it unlocked. Be free of carriers, because they're all evil.
The code is HTC1008, and you'll get $100 off your bill when you pre-order it through HTC's device. Did that this morning. Worked. Awesome.
What color did you get?
I got the aluminum. Okay.
You didn't want to go gold? No?
Yeah. No. I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay without the gold. The S7 gold really turned me off. Yes. I saw that. I was like, wow, I don't know if I ever want gold. Like if there's the risk that it's going to end up being that gold, then I'm just not even going to try. I don't know. But hey,
you have to be a gold kind of person, kind of guy or girl. I'd say,
it's
the same. I get my Nexus 6P is like, I got black, they want it, graphite, whatever, carbon. I forget what this one was called. Fancy name, but sometimes you just want something simple, minimalist. Yep.
I guess we'll see how this fares for HTC. But I think it looks really solid and hope to have it soon.
You know what else we'll see?
What?
BlackBerry's coming out with two new phones this year.
Really? Are they like super top of the line?
They are not top of the line phones.
Okay.
Mr. Howell.
Okay.
They are mid-range phones.
Oh.
One of the keyboard variety and one of the touchscreen variety.
Okay.
So you will have variety.
Right.
BlackBerry had said last week in an interview that they would be launching two more phones, and that's probably going to be it. Going to be two more Android phones.
Two more Android phones.
To try and go after that market.
And then they're going to see how it goes? Or two more Android phones, and then
think
we're done.
That's it.
I think
that's what it sounds like. That's it.
Oh my gosh.
If this doesn't work, we're finito. And let's also recall.
If this doesn't work. I gotcha. Okay.
That we only sold 600,000 BlackBerry previews, which was 200,000 under That's so bad.
Projections.
If it's 200,000 under like projections, so was, the projections were 800,000. Okay.
Yeah, 850. Actually, it's 250,000 less than the, yes, they had forecasted.
Yes, my bad. So 250. Even though, worse. That's still like.
The priv was really expensive.
It should have not been $700. And he did, BlackBerry CEO did bring that up. He did say, we charge way too much money for that phone. To which, okay, I was like, yes, you did.
Why are we okay with HTC? Or are we, actually? We didn't ask this question. So the HTC One or the HTC 10 is what? It's $699, $700 for the kind of intro version. So
it was the LG G5.
Really? I mean, not... the BlackBerry Priv is at the same price. Is there why the difference in perception? Why is the Priv not worth $700, but those other flagships are? JR, what do you think?
You know, I think honestly, it's getting harder and harder to justify spending that much on any phone these days.
Yes.
We've talked about on this show and in other places for a while. I mean, there's so many good phones out there that you can get for a fraction of $300, $400, $500.
Get a Moto G while you still can.
Yeah, Moto G. I mean, even. Like we said, there's some issues with trustworthiness and upgrades, but like the Moto X is pretty affordable. Mm. The various Nexus devices are affordable if you want to go to the OnePlus. Whatever. Yeah.
OnePlus X is a really good, like, low, mm-hmm, mid-range phone. Not even. It's like a low, it's an old high-end phone. That's what it is.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I would personally have a tough time justify spending $700, mm-hmm, on a smartphone today, because you can get pretty close to the same level of experience on a much cheaper device. So much of it is about the software and the experience. And so much of what used to be bad about cheap phones isn't really the case anymore. You know, I don't even want to say cheap, but the less expensive phones.
Inexpensive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not looking at a junky, barely running potato cam device anymore for like $400. It's a pretty decent experience at that rate. So, yeah, I mean, I think more and more as these unlocked devices are coming to the market and selling good experiences at a more affordable rate, it's going to be harder to justify. I think still, just especially in the United States, a lot of people don't realize that, because you walk into a carrier store and you see what's there and you see, you know, they don't put $700. They put whatever you're going to pay per month or however it's spread out over the contract or payment plans or whatever. And I don't think people realize that you could just go online and order something for $300 and that over the course of those same 2 years, you're going to pay a lot less and probably be able to get a cheaper phone plan too. Especially if you leave a big carrier and go to like a prepaid one, which maybe Flo should consider. Flo.
Oh, brother.
Well, sorry, I had something.
I don't know what I'm going to do, guys. This is really like, it's a really.
Sorry, don't want to put you in a comfortable position.
It's a life.
I understand.
Decision. It's like moving houses, okay?
No, I was a Verizon user for years. I had the unlimited data, and I was like, I'm never letting this go. They're going to have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. And then I realized it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I go to T-Mobile, I'm totally fine. Like, apparently, I don't use as much data as I thought. And apparently, I'm connected to Wi-Fi all the time.
Oh, shoot.
Are you connected to Wi-Fi all the time?
Only on certain models of phones.
Okay,
Verizon
confused now.
Only allows it on certain models of their phones.
Wi-Fi?
Like, oh, no. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the voice over Wi-Fi.
No. No, I'm just talking about like data.
Oh, Wi-Fi.
Like
Wi-Fi, I mean, in general.
Voice calls. Yeah. What's that?
I mean, we could have a whole show about this, but it's that little stretch on BART.
Yeah, I understand. Coverage
only,
is Verizon's
and I've used
thing.
Like review phones, and only Verizon's had coverage in that Caldecott tunnel. Like,
yeah. No, Verizon's got the coverage. That's
what
why people. That's why people put up with all the stuff that Verizon throws at them, because of the coverage. Anyways, I don't want pressure.
You know, just be my friends, guys. Okay? Because I'm gonna need you at the end of this.
We support you.
When we break up, I'm gonna need you guys.
Okay.
So don't leave me.
We're here for you.
Whatever you decide.
Thank
we're
you.
Here.
That's right. That's Thank
right.
you.
All right. Let's move before we all break down in tears into apps. There we go. Uh, All right, so accessibility, kind of a recurring topic on the show.
This excites me. Google announced a new host of accessibility features across a spectrum of devices, including Chrome OS, Android, Google Docs, and I believe there was one like little ditty for, it's escaping my mind right now, but we'll come to it in just a second. For Android, developers can now take advantage of new Accessibility Scanner, which is a neat app that you can download now just to check out and see if the apps on your mobile device are accessibility or meet the accessibility needs. You can also, those of you taking advantage of the Android N developer preview, can test out the new vision settings, which pops up on the welcome screen and will adjust the interface for those with visual impairments. Pretty neat. So nice to have that at the login screen so that it's all ready for you, because you don't want to go through that login screen without like kind of, you know, being able to see it. Like,
yes,
I mean,
exactly.
That's the whole point of putting that on. And those things are buried in the settings anyway, which is such a bummer. Also, there is the voice access beta, which allows you, allows those with difficulty touching a touchscreen to control the Android device with just their voice.
That is awesome.
It sounds super impressive. So It sounds like all of our, you know, 80s and 90s tech fantasies where you can just speak commands to your phone, like open Chrome or go home and tell the device to click next or what have you, go back. So all those sorts of things. So you can play with that if you want to opt into the beta. Although it's currently at capacity, so maybe you'll have better luck than I did yesterday to try and get in that. I mean, I would love to control my phone.
Yeah, I know. That's
my voice.
Yes.
Just be in a room of iPhone people and just be like, look what I can do.
You just what you
it
want.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, like, it's cool just for as a neat thing to do, or if you're cooking or whatever and can't get your hands on. But then beyond that, and you know, arguably far more important, I've seen a couple of people retweet things on Twitter where some Android owners with limited or maybe no use of their hands who have a tough time have been posting things where they're showing like, hey, I just took this selfie. Yeah. Using the new accessibility mode. And I mean, that's just fantastic that we're reaching a point where that kind of thing can be possible and hopefully soon in the hands of pretty much anyone, aside from the use that just any of us could have with it too, which has
absolutely
been beneficial too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A lot of good things about that. Yeah.
It's good to hear, because I mean, accessibility, like I am part of a community of transit people who are obsessed with transit. Because those of you who follow me on Twitter know all I do is talk about
it's
BART.
It's your second beat.
It's my second beat.
Is BART.
After Beverly Hills, Enter 2.0 and Android.
That's right.
My third beat. But that's the thing that comes up all the time is accessibility in the public transportation. And I like seeing it come to tech, because I feel like having that start there will eventually, you know, trickle down to other areas of the world. We have a couple other accessibility features outside of Android, including Chrome OS. So for Chromebook users, they can now opt into the ChromeVox Next beta. This already existed, but it's getting a bit of an update, which includes a simplified keyboard shortcut, a new caption panel to display speech and braille output, and a new set of navigation sounds. And on Google Docs now, you can dictate not only your words to Google Docs, but you can also dictate editing and formatting, which is pretty neat.
I mean, it's a whole language in and of itself. You got to know how to speak the language in order to do full editing inside Google Docs. But
before
you
would have to get like applications to be able to use that on your desktop computer. And now you could just do it with your browser through Google Docs.
I'm sure over time you get really, really proficient at what you need to do.
Absolutely. I use it sometimes because I'm like a stream of consciousness person, in case nobody has been able to tell the last 7 months watching me here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And so sometimes I need to dictate my thoughts.
Yeah.
It helps with your flow, is what you're trying to tell us.
It does.
Right?
It helps with the workflow. Okay. Yes, it does. It helps flow with the workflow.
Excellent.
I'll be here all night, folks.
Yes, thank you. This is why we bring you on.
Today.
This is why we bring you on once every 6 months, JR.
It's the service I provide. Bad puns.
That's okay. and comparing your various Android efforts to food, which then make me hungry. It's something that you
I know.
Do
I'm
going to
eat so many goldfish after this.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh,
me too. Hey, Reddit finally did it, everyone.
I know, right?
Finally.
How did it take this long?
I don't know. Yeah,
it's like
it really
when two people get married and they've been together for like 15 years. They were like, and they had like kids and stuff. And they're like, finally, they just did it.
Oh, they got married. Oh, finally. Really? They did that finally. Okay. Reddit got married to the Google Play Store and they produced some offspring in the form of Reddit, the official app. It's an official Reddit app straight from the Reddit Reddit institution that we either love or hate.
You're a Reddit guy.
I like Reddit.
Yeah.
There are a million third party Reddit options, and thankfully
there's no official app.
I mean, there was none for the longest time. Now there is. Many people are still swearing by their app of choice. And more power to them. Reddit does not have designs to, at least they're not, they're saying they don't at this point in time, to kind of cut off third-party access and kind of limit it to kind of force you into their app. They're saying there are a lot of other apps out there. If those are what you prefer, more power to you. We've created ours, and we think it's going to, it's going to be perfect for a lot of
you mean they're not
going to
pull a Twitter?
Exactly. And that's a big difference, right? Twitter fostered this amazing third-party support community, all these people creating things,
rug out from under them.
Exactly.
When things were, and now we are stuck with.
It's a weird, weird world. Yeah, in the world of Twitter apps. So I don't know. Either of you Reddit users use the app? Like it? I don't care.
Still using Bacon Reader just because I have the widget already installed on my home screen, and it's just
okay.
I mean, might as well. It's there.
Yeah. I'm a casual browser, and I haven't taken the time to really look at it. But from everything I've seen, people are saying most of the third-party apps are equal or better than. So
yeah.
I'll probably check it out just to see it, but I don't know. Maybe it's more just targeting a mainstream. Are there mainstream Reddit users?
Yes.
Reddit's kind of a niche in and of itself.
No, it is. There are mainstream Reddit users.
Are there
people like, did you see Reddit the other day? And I'm like, yes, I did. I saw it, but...
There you go.
Maybe
that's
what
it's after. The people don't have a favorite yet. Or maybe they're going to try to grow. Maybe they're going to try to make it more mainstream. Now they have an official app. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, a nice thing is they're building it in, material design, making Android nicely.
That's one thing that I actually really, really appreciated is that, they did a simultaneous release of Android and iOS, and both versions actually look different. There's some similarities.
That's how it should be done, y'all.
But, Reddit really adhered to material design in certain areas on the Android version, and the iOS version does not have those things like a floating action button or whatever. So, they paid attention.
Maybe
they did it right.
Maybe they did that to show everybody else,
this is what you do.
And actually, this is not a news item, but I'm going to bring it up anyway.
Do it.
It's not a news item, but I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
Have y'all seen the leaks for Twitter's new UI?
Material design thing. Hey, hold on. Let me search Reddit because
You said floating action button, and I'm just thinking fabulous. And I'm thinking of,
here. I can go ahead.
The Twitter Android app can only go uphill, right? I mean, anything they do at this point is going to help. So
we go,
I know they hired Joaquin Verges, who
maybe this
comes from Falcon Pro, who was part of the whole.
Yeah, it's true. Need to get Joaquin on the show. So what do we see here?
Wait, so this is the video
basically
looks like what we have now, except with some, but
except a floating button.
But I was just thinking, we got Reddit doing that, and thank God, Twitter is kind of coming out. I mean, hopefully this is, really happening. You got the little button there in the corner.
That's a little better, right? I mean, the one now, you got this whole weird, that big bar at the top, and then it's, I don't know. It just hurts my eyes looking at the current one. I mean, this one, I guess, is still the same color scheme, but it looks a little better to me. It's a step, baby steps.
Yeah.
I guess even if, let's hope that Joaquin is somewhat driving this, but even if so, one guy coming in isn't going to shake it up and put out a whole new app, from an existing team in 6 months or however long he's been there. Maybe his influence is starting to shine through and it'll just keep getting better.
I'm just such an idealist. I can't help it. I'm just such an idealist.
You are.
I am.
It's true. How do you feel about Mitomo? Are you still totally enthralled and using it regularly?
That's our last news item of the day.
I need to add you on that, by the way.
While
we're here in person, because I scanned all my networks and it didn't pull you in.
But the thing is, I added you and you didn't add me back.
Because I have a different account. I have the one that I first checked it out with, and then Yeah.
Oh, anyways, I understand.
We'll talk about it later. Okay. But anyways, I'll add you before you leave.
It saw over 2.6 million downloads last week, which, and it's making about 280,000 a week for Nintendo. And I will admit I was part of that, giving it a little bit of money. But
did you buy outfits?
I'm pleading the fifth. Okay. So, because I do change my girl's outfit every day as much as I change mine. How am I feeling today? I made the mistake, actually, of twitching my Miitomo. So I would just like to caution everyone not to twitch Miitomo because I
revealed... That sounds like so much nonsense. You twitched your Miitomo? What?
Yeah, so...
Thank you, Brian. I don't even know.
I thought you were just making a comment about Twitch, but anyway.
Streaming to Twitch is what you're talking about.
Streaming to Twitch, yes. I twitched my Miitomo session, but that I ended up revealing like answers that were just between like me and the other person, and things were getting kind of...
Yeah, right.
And I felt like a total jerk, so I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, fair enough.
Never doing that again. I'm sorry. Okay. But yeah, I'm still kind of logging in a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm just answering like... I don't know. I'm trying to use it as, like, a way to interact. Like, Brian and I have been interacting a lot on Miitomo. But, you know, I'm trying to use it as a way to interact like I would on Facebook with my more tech-centric friends.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's something to do on BART when you're bored, you know. And I'm getting really good at the pachinko games, so.
Apparently, I need to play that. Apparently, I need to use it more. But 2.6 million downloads in a single week.
Is insane.
That's not too shabby.
Good job, Nintendo. You should
that scrappy upstart.
Put more games on Android because my 3DS is sitting in a box somewhere collecting dust.
Put actual games on Android, actually.
Just put them on Android.
Just like real
I will
games.
Buy them. I will give you money. I will give you like up to $20, okay? Just give me something.
For a high quality Nintendo game?
I like, will give you up to $20. I'll save all my Google survey money.
Controls better be good. Because on smartphones, the controls can often be the stinker in the whole
thing. I did find a way around that, though.
Oh. A Bluetooth controller?
No. It's just nice to have the ability to set where the controls are, like on the overlay.
Oh, okay.
Because of the way, like, you figure out the way you hold your thumb.
Yeah,
and, you know,
right.
Whatever. Nobody's made equal. Like, we all have different...
It's true. Very, very true. Know. Hey,
you
so...
You guys remember...
What's up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, do it.
So nothing of any consequence here, but I was just going to say, do you guys remember for a while, it was like back around the original Moto Droid era, I can't remember the company's name, but there were these things that were kind of in for a while, these little plastic things you put on top of.
I know exactly what you were talking about when you brought that up. Do you guys remember? And I was like, yes.
I've got one in a drawer somewhere. Like, there is one in this room somewhere. Maybe two.
And did
but I guess, that kind of relied on the physical keyboard, I think, if I'm remembering right.
I believe
we need something like that again.
And there was even an early, and they gave it out at one of the sessions at I.O.
Yes, they did.
It was like a PlayStation certified slide out controller Android phone. I can't remember the name of it.
God.
I was really bummed I didn't go to that session, though, because I really wanted that.
It was like the Verizon Sony Play or something.
Yeah, the Sony Play. Something like
some
that.
Number, I think. Play something 3
like
or something. Yeah.
Who's Sony?
Honestly, I thought that we would see more devices like that that would have like a slide
Nokia,
out controller gamepad or something.
Like that Nokia phone with the gamepad and everything built in.
Yes. Man, that didn't take off. Speaking of things that happened a while ago and that we talked about on the show, let's see here. Jason Colby wrote in and said, after listening to last week's show and the discussion of the time when the now infamous Clean Master app was entered into the arena, I felt inspired to go back and listen to that episode, which was episode 103 of April 2013. This episode aired not too long before I became a listener, and so while it's not new, it was new to me. I had a blast listening to both how much has changed and how much hasn't. Here are a few notes I took during my listen. This is always fun.
Love this.
It's always fun to go back in time. Version report. Gingerbread still had around 40% of the market, so that gives you an idea of the era of
people
of this
were on
episode.
The same versions.
Yeah, 40%. That's pretty strong. Everyone had such high hopes for the Ouya, cue the sad
I
trombone.
I did too.
I think everybody, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I put it in the same box as my 3DS.
That poor little thing did not last very long at all. Rumors of a Facebook phone
were causing quite a stir. That phone from HTC.
That thing would never die, those rumors about it. Oh.
So this wasn't the Facebook.
No, it wasn't. It was before it.
It was before that. That's
right. Gingerbread. So
okay.
Yeah, yeah, that story was going on for years before it ever actually came out.
And it made sense at the time, but yeah, didn't pan out. Ron left a hard drive full of computer games in his computer in his parents' basement, presumably right next to the Entertainment Weeklies he mentioned on the most recent episode.
Probably right near his Pez dispensers too.
Yes. Exactly. It was the premiere of Jeff Kosmicki's video intro for the new Android Arena intro that we have right now. So that's 3 years standing here. Jeff Kosmicki, by the way, has done all of our bumpers, and he's been gracious enough to do those over the years, and they are just awesome. Chad, our previous technical director before Brian, detects chicanery in the arena results. There's a massive out-of-scale influx of votes from India for one particular app, or maybe Ron is just huge in Lucknow. This was a thread that was very strong back then, where we were like,
this
okay,
has been going on before me.
Apps, yes, this is yes, exactly. It was always, and if ever it bubbles up on the show, Ron's very strong in India. It's from this episode. This is
oh my
so.
God.
This is a very cool episode
Can
to call out.
Can we make that shirt for him?
Ron's big in India.
I'm big in India.
Ron's big in India. Yes, I think that we need to. And then Jason Colby says, now here comes Jason championing Clean Master. Seems like it was a pretty useful app, actually. Thank you, Jason. Aside from the task
killer
bit. Well, that was killer
task bit. Killer was very important back then. That
yeah.
was like...
So he asked, did it not turn evil until sometime after its arena appearance, or was the evil there already just hidden?
That's why I think it's like Mac Keeper, because Mac Keeper used to not be APOS, and now it is.
APOS.
I'm sorry, APOS.
Oh, I was thinking sorry. Of, I was thinking of Associated Press Operating System. What is the APOS?
Point of sale.
I don't.
Point of sale.
Yes.
That's what the next BlackBerry phone is going
to
run.
That was as close to cursing as I'll get on the show.
Now I know which POS you're talking about.
Sorry.
Okay, this is just always a lot of fun to go back. So,
they
hey, there you go.
A lot of people, so I can't help but say that.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I guess it wasn't a dog then.
It wasn't, because I remember it was like one of the number one apps in the Play Store.
And then
I feel like I need to look into the history of Clean Master and like really.
It might be a good investigative piece.
You know, I have to stop telling like my story ideas on the show.
Sorry, we'll edit
swear
that out.
Swear to God, JR, if I see an article like this pop up.
It's going up tomorrow, 9 a.m., all-nighter. I'm going to write that now.
No, I think
just to spite you.
I think we figured it out, JR. Your next Android Intelligence episode, talking to the founder of Clean
oh
Master.
My God.
The full history. The story behind the story.
Yeah.
Why does Asus keep putting your silly app on all their phones? Nobody needs a task killer anymore.
Is that an actual company that makes that, or is it just like a one-person little team?
I think it's a company, and they have several suites of this app. Yeah. Like, it's not just the Clean Master. It's
Cheetah Mobile.
Who is Cheetah Mobile?
Cheetah Mobile, they've got their hands in a lot of things. And most recently, who did they buy?
They bought something that really pissed people off.
Yes, they did. It was a gallery? It was, oh man, what was it? Somebody in chat's going to know. Anyways, yes, they are a contentious, polarizing development outfit. Quick Pick. There we go. Kyle Ruggles in chat got it.
Right.
It was Quick Pick. An app that a lot of people really liked. And then when they saw that Cheetah Mobile bought it, it was like...
Yeah. They just have a history of doing slightly questionable, shady things with apps. Like I don't know that they're outright crooks, you'd say, but they just do little things where you're like, oh, come on, guys.
Right.
Just
man,
enough
you
to
guys,
annoy you.
This is some deep-seated, like...
They certainly have a reputation that precedes them. Let's just say that. And to some degrees, I'm not quite sure I understand exactly why. But hey, there you go. All right. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Arena time.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
This is a fun episode. We've had a lot of fun stuff to talk about today.
You know, we really have just been talking a lot today about
Well, it's what we do here.
I had a lot on my mind today.
Exactly. Taking a look at, well, I did too. I mean, I think we all did. That's the point. We're going really long today. Sorry, folks. bit.ly/AAAshow260 was the place that you went last week.
Who won?
To place your vote. And I don't even know because I haven't looked. Contacts Optimizer.
Whose app was that?
That was
Flo's app.
Oh, what do you know, Flo?
Finally.
Dun, dun,
what do I have to do for you people to vote for my...
Well, bring a solid app, yeah, number one, and present it.
This is why I have to stop picking apps at the last second.
Yeah. I mean, this is not easy. I know we make it seem like it's so easy. No, it's actually very difficult.
Kudos to the person that suggested that app to me.
Thank you, random person.
It was somebody on Twitter, and I'm sorry that I forgot your name, but I remember that interaction happening.
All right, are we ready?
Who is ready to kick this jam?
Kick it into gear. Okay, mine's really easy, actually. And it's called Velociraptor. What is Velociraptor? It is
a dinosaur.
That's one thing that it is. In the case of this app, it is this. Do you see this? Speed limit, 0 miles per hour. This is an indicator when you are navigating out and about that follows, it actually taps into a database that knows, depending on which street you're on, what the posted speed limit is.
Okay.
So once you've given it the permissions, do I want to show it or not? Whatever. You can determine whether you want it in miles per hour, or kilometers per hour, the style, you know, where you happen to be, international, U.S. Speeding tolerance, so it'll kind of alert you if you go X amount of miles per hour in a percentage over the posted speed limit of that particular area. Now, I'll go out here and you see it disappears. I've linked it to maps. So if I go into my driving, my Google Maps, it's linked here. So now...
You just put in a little holster and you can see... Right.
Now I know if I'm driving along and this I'm navigating really somewhere and I'm going along and I don't know the posted speed limit, because sometimes you turn onto a street and maybe not you, but I know I do this. I turn onto a street and I haven't seen the speed limit for that particular street yet, and I'm going the thing I think it's supposed to be, and then I see one and I go, oh, did that just change? Or has it been that the whole time?
I just appreciate that's what goes through your mind, because I'm just like, who cares? 30 like, miles an hour. There's no children around. I'm going fast.
There you go. So anyways, it'll kind of cross-reference it with that database. I'm sure I can find out which, OpenStreetMap and Here Maps data. Here Maps, H-E-R-E.
Nokia.
There we go.
That's Nokia. Nokia's.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good job, Nokia.
So there you go. Now you will know as kind of an extra, and this is kind of one of those things. It's like, why doesn't Google just build this into Maps?
They will. I'm sure they'll knock at the door tomorrow and be like, hey guys, can we buy you? Yes, please. Give us money.
Because the way it overlays, it looks like it's supposed to be there. It looks like it's totally part of it.
Does your phone get hot when you're using it though?
I don't know. It's mounted on my dash, so I don't pay attention. But no, I don't think so. It's just a tiny bit of data that's being pulled in. So,
okay. My Nexus gets so hot when it's doing maps.
And then when you're playing music from it at the same time, which I do all the time, I'm doing map at the same time as streaming music from it or whatever. So I'm sure it does too, but I've got this nice case on and it's mounted up there. I don't put my hands on my phone while I'm driving. I don't do that. And neither should you. Anyways. It's a Velociraptor map speed limit, and it is.
Does it know if you're Snapchatting while you're driving? Because that may or may not have been my scenario.
Do de do de do. Anywho,
I need a self-driving car. This is ridiculous. I need a new carrier and a self-driving car.
You do need a self-driving car, apparently. So you can take take it out of your hands. So there you go. Velociraptor map speed limit. It's free. I think there's like between 500 and 1,000 installs. So it's super low installs. And it does one thing, does it well. Gives you, cross-referenced miles per hour based on where you happen to be. I think that's pretty neat. There you go. Velociraptor. All right. So Florence, you go last because you were the winner.
Yes.
That's the benefit that you have. So JR, I have your app installed. I will show it off while you talk about it.
Cool. Yeah. The one I chose is a new RSS reader called Quote. It works. It's made for Feedly. I think it works with a couple others, but it's from the same developer who did and continues to do Phoenix, the third-party Twitter app for Android that's really nice to use. And there's not a whole lot to say about it, and I think that's kind of the point. It's just, it's similar like Phoenix. It's just slick, nice, easy to use, nicely designed, this sort of minimalist focus on the content UI there. There's some gestures for getting around easily. Yeah, that's just pretty much it. You can go like full screen reading. There are some themes. You can go dark, light. I think there's some sort of sepia deal. You do have to pay a few bucks for some of that, and paying a few bucks will also get rid of those pesky ads that are on the screen there. But it's free. You can try it out, check it out, and if you like it and want to get rid of the ads and do some more, then you know, you pay a few bucks and get some more features too. It does support offline reading, which is a big thing. If you use Feedly as much as I do, like I'm constantly checking RSS feeds and, you know, the official Feedly app, it just kind of sucks, and it's always sucked. And there are some other decent third-party ones. There's one I've used and liked for a while called Feedly Reader, but it hasn't gotten any updates in a long time, so I'm always keeping an eye out for a new one. And this one just really has a lot of potential. Nicely done. For me, the only thing it's missing, and I'm assuming it's probably going to get updated pretty fast and frequently, knowing this developer, is the ability to open an article directly into your own browser or, you know, browsing app of choice. Like, if I want to have it open just into Chrome or, you know, the third-party app that gives you, like, a quick little browser window. This doesn't have that option. You do have to tap another button to get there first,
right,
unless there's something I missed. But I don't think that's there yet. But, I mean, it's a really cool start. And always looking for new, good RSS readers that don't try to do too much. And this is one of those. So, quote, it's free with optional in-app upgrade. We're checking out if you use Feedly.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. When I first connected to it, and then I looked at my phone a little bit later, it was like, now syncing 16,400 blow. I was like, wait a minute, I haven't checked Feedly in a really long time.
So I had to immediately to settings, yes, and disable all syncing. Any of these feed reader apps, it's always the first step you've got to do, because yeah, they will just sync the hell out of your Feedly thing. I use Feedly all day every day, but I don't mark everything as red. I just kind of mark something as red, and I know that's where I've read up to. So yeah, go into settings right away and check your sync setting in there, so you don't burn through a ton of data and battery for no reason.
The original Star Wars trilogy is returning to theaters, I just learned. Again?
Mm-hmm. Again? That's kind of cool. So is it the original? I get to do this twice in my life.
Alamo. Oh, I see. Alamo Drafthouse has arranged screenings over 20 cities.
You found out about that thanks to this app, and that's why you should go vote for it in the Android arena, and this is going to win.
Exactly.
Can we put this arena on pause? I have to go buy tickets.
Here, want me to do it? Here, I'm sure I can. I'm sure I can do this through quote. There we go. Awesome. That is quote, and it is free. All right, you're up next.
I am up next.
What you got, Flo?
So y'all know how much I love Pokemon.
Yes, we do.
So naturally, I brought on the Pokemon, the card game, online today to the
arena.
The
card game?
The card game. Boop. I'm going to start it up for y'all right now. Look at that. Now, unfortunately, I don't have enough coins to... okay, so let me tell y'all. I do not play Hearthstone, and I have been mostly intimidated by card games for most of my life. But after 3 days, I finally beat the, what's it called? The walkthrough or the trial. Gosh, what's it called? The tutorial. I finally beat the tutorial.
Of Hearthstone?
For Pokemon.
Oh, for Pokemon.
Yeah, I finally beat it.
Now, this is a beta, by the way, everyone. So
yeah, and I'm really sorry that didn't realize that.
I think beta is fine. There's ways to opt into it, so it's not like it's
impossible.
I think
the beta is just for the tablet version, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't think the beta is for the smartphone version, but I usually play games on my tablet. So I logged in, so today I get a thing. It's totally just like Hearthstone, by the way, just in terms of gameplay. It is the original card game. You start out with, you know, one of three packs, so you can choose between your typical water, fire, you know, grass type Pokemon. The thing is, though, you will have to grind a little bit to get coins and things so that you can, you know, customize your player and add to your packs. But if you're committed to playing the Pokemon card game, then that shouldn't be an issue, right?
Right.
Right. And you could play with your friends, too, if you'd like. Which I haven't done yet because I'm honestly still kind of getting a hang of the card game. But as you see here, this is how you start a trainer battle, and this is a trainer challenge that's so you can, you know, get some coins and brush up on cards. I don't know. I think we're just going to play with a basic yellow deck.
Of course. Will this teach folks who are completely...
Yes, the tutorial will.
Not knowledgeable at all about anything Pokemon? About the world of Pokemon?
No. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know Pokemon, just that's part of the reasons I don't play Hearthstone is because I'm not really into the Blizzard World of Warcraft world.
Got it.
So I like this because I know Pokemon very dang well.
And so how you would play in...
This mimics exactly how you'd play in real life.
That's awesome. Then.
And so the tutorial, you have to get through I think it's 9 stages of the tutorial before you can play any of this, which is great because it teaches you how to play the game. It teaches you how, when you get into kind of a tricky situation, how to get yourself out of it. Can you hear it? Oh, you know what?
There we go.
Can you hear it?
Maybe not. Okay. Well, whatever.
Thanks. It's exactly like, oh, you know what? There's the Wi-Fi in here is a little finicky, so I can't play it right now. You have to be online the entire time to play it.
Awesome.
So I actually can't play it right now because the Wi-Fi is all finicky.
Oh, so the Wi-Fi is disconnecting or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I see something.
He was... There we go. All right. So... All right, I'm going to give him a little light punch.
Yeah, I see what you did, Brian. Yeah. I was like, wow, how did they separate the audio from the music to the sound effects?
Because Brian's playing through the original Pokemon. Which one are you playing, Brian, red or blue?
I'm playing through red.
Oh! Let's put Pikachu in there.
Oh, wow.
Going to give a little energy. You have to give... So the thing about this is you got to attach energy cards.
Okay.
So that they can actually, go.
Excellent. It looks good. It looks like it would be a lot more fun on a tablet screen.
It is so much more fun on the tablet.
Even on the tablet, these are pretty small, and stuff. So
see, I can,
phone,
evolve
it would be really hard to see some
Pikachu
stuff.
Very easily.
As one would be wont to do, yes.
Well, now I want to finish this hand. Let me just do this.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
You got coins and everything. I'm picking from his cards. Exactly like your typical card game.
All right.
And it's stuck now because the Wi-Fi keeps going out.
It's not
the Wi-Fi here. It's just my tablet's been having Wi-Fi problems lately. So
go ahead and blame the Wi-Fi here. Cool. So this is Pokemon The Card Game, or TCG, as they have put it.
And actually, you should type it in that way into play, because otherwise it won't come up. You'll get all these, wannabe.
Right.
All these wannabes.
And in order to do this right now, anyways, this version is beta, so you're going to have to opt into the beta.
The tablet version, but I believe you can play it as freely as you want on the phone version.
Excellent.
And of course it is freemium, so if you want to pay to play, you can.
Or you can grind,
which is what I'm kind of trying to do while I figure out the strategy of the game before I'm probably going to end up just spending all my time for the next 3 months reading message boards of which packs I should buy and good combinations.
You have a lot of time on your hands.
It's not that I have a lot of time. It's that I can't go to sleep at night. So, yes, I spent a lot of time on the internet researching.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Pokemon TCG Online or Pokemon The Card Game Online. Opt into the beta and you too can play
it on
the tablet.
Still trying to pick a card right now.
That's okay. You can get back to that.
I give up.
Fantastic. Go to bit.ly/AAAshow261. bit.ly/AAAshow261. Right now, early reports are in and only one vote placed and Pokemon gets it.
Bless you, child.
I have a feeling this is going to change a little bit.
I know it's niche, but I had to bring my Pokemans into the arena.
See?
So now it's fair.
Now it's totally even. 33% across the board.
Could you imagine?
I've seen it. I've seen almost that. We've seen ties before.
Does everybody get a point?
Ties have happened. Everybody gets an
award.
Or do
we have to go into
everybody gets a medal.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
You're just saying that because I'm a millennial.
Maybe. I can't remember. We may have done half points. Like, you get a half point, and then it made the rest of the year really weird.
That's not... Nobody likes decimal
there was this
points.
Lingering half point following everyone. Well, there we go. Hope you all get in there and vote and let us know which is your favorite app. And even if you don't, hope you all found some apps to install. And that is it for this week. A lot of fun, although we missed Ron, although let's say that we didn't, so we make Ron feel bad. Although not too bad, because I'm probably not going to be on next week's episode.
It's going to be me and Ron next
week. So you guys can make fun of me all episode. It's fine. It's fine. I'm okay with it. I'm totally okay with it.
We don't, though.
Well, you should.
No one would do that, Jason.
Like, we don't. We're just
you
like...
You should.
Jason's not here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They wouldn't make up a Pez collection and mock you for something that doesn't even exist. Who would do that? That's crazy talk.
Exactly. Can somebody please tweet Ron and ask him if he has a Pez collection?
I'm curious, yes. What if he actually does? That would be kind of
I want someone to make a Twitter account just of like
Ron's Pez collection.
And just tweet out different pictures of his Pez collection every day.
That's, we come up with all these fun trolling jokes today, but like... We should have just done the trolling jokes.
It's too much work.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm like...
Ain't nobody got time for that. Maybe you do when you're not sleeping, but...
No, I have to look at Pokemon stuff. I don't have time for that.
All right, fair enough. J.R. Rayfield, always a pleasure getting you on. So happy to finally get you back after a short hiatus. And really excited for all the stuff you have going on with Android Intelligence. Tell people all the stuff they need to know to go to it right now. Check it out.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, the first episode of the interview podcast is up with Hiroshi. Easiest thing is just to go to podcast.androidintel.net. You can try searching for it in apps. It should show up soon, but just go to podcast.androidintel.net and you'll find direct links to add it into Pocket Casts or Player FM or any other number of apps you may wish to use. And yeah, that's the big thing out there right now. You can find all my social media info and links to all my stories at my personal writing site, which is jrstart.com as well.
Fantastic. Thank you, JR, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Absolutely. Always fun. And Flo, what about you?
Well, you can find all my writing of the Android things on PCWorld.com and Greenbot.com, but I've also started, I have started my own little Twitch channel because...
And you've already
I'm just trying to,
gotten into cold water with the Twitch channel. And
yeah, I got a little bit of customization to do. I got to figure, I'm basically figuring this Twitch thing out. So if you want to come watch me figure it out, I'll be streaming on the weekends Android games.
Nice.
Android stuff.
That's cool.
Right now I'm streaming from an actual Android devices, which has been a little laggy. So I'm working on another method.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where should people find you on Twitch? Is there like
at
a Twitch?
Oh, that flow.
Twitch.com/OhThatFlow.
Yes.
Is that how it goes?
Yes. And I'm planning, obviously, on playing TCG this weekend.
Excellent.
This is the Miitomo.
No, don't
section.
Do it. We're going to learn too much.
I'm so sorry for everyone whose like secrets are revealed on Twitch. I think they like delete those after like a month or whatever.
Yeah. Thank you, Flo. Brian, what about you?
Well, I work on screensavers, so definitely that's on Saturdays. I TD that show, and I know Jason and Flo, you've both been on there, so that's definitely something you should check out. But when I'm not doing know-how, you can find me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo. But next week is NAB, so it's gonna be a little crazy.
That's where a lot of us are gonna be. That's why one of the reasons why I'm not gonna be able to do the show likely. If I can figure out a space to do it, I thought I was gonna be able to do it from the NAB stage that we have there, but I guess the power kind of. Like, I guess things kind of shut down around 5-ish, which is when this show starts. So then I'd be scrambling to find something, and I will have worked an entire day at NAB in Vegas. I think I'll probably be okay to just be like, you know what? You guys got this.
Do you want me to dress up as you?
Yeah.
I would have to, like, you know, grow an extra foot in that time. But
are you saying I have 3 feet?
No, an extra foot.
Okay. Oh, that
measurement.
That way. Okay.
This way.
Yes. No, I would prefer...
Although if you had 3 feet, I could imagine you'd be very stable.
That's true.
There are things you don't want to know about this man. Let's not go there.
Yeah, no one ever sees my feet. They're always underneath this table.
True. You don't know how many feet he has under
We're
there
peeling
right now.
Back the curtain a little too far here. We don't need to know these things. But
this
yes,
part
I would
of the show
appreciate
will
that.
Never air. It's all going to be cut out.
Tony, edit this out. All right. Before we wrap up, check out the TWiT newsletter. We have a newsletter that's really awesome. You can sign up at twit.tv/newsletter. We have like behind the scenes footage. It's not footage, but just kind of stuff, information there. Also, we'll look at what's coming up every week. We kind of give you a little bit of insight as far as what TWiT is up to. And, you know, we don't like sell your data. We just give you a nice newsletter and you get it in your email. And I don't know what I'm looking at right now. Oh.
Cut the feed.
That's 1 foot.
Hey, wait a minute. How many feet do you have?
That's 2 feet.
What is this?
That's 2 feet.
What is this?
There's my third foot.
It's 3 feet.
What is that foot?
I prefer to put a different shoe on my third foot because it's very difficult to find the same shoe for 3 feet.
It wasn't me.
Well, what your third foot is a lady foot, right? I think that's what I'd read before on some blog.
Cosmetic surgery is amazing. Yeah. The advancements we've had.
I go with what I have, and I have a third. My third foot is a lady foot, and so I go with lady shoes. It's just, you guys know
we
far
love you
too much.
You are. It's good. We support Flo with her abusive relationship, and we love you just like you are, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. I don't know if I like how this show is ending. Anyways. twit.tv/newsletter. You probably won't find any information about my third foot there. That is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail. Why don't you? 347-SHOW-AAA. You never do, but I'm going to keep asking for you to.
Otherwise, we talk about extra feet.
Yeah.
See what happens?
This is what happens when you don't do
that. You have to call us so we don't talk about 3 feet.
AAA@twit.tv is the email. More likely, you're going to contact us that way. We are at Android Show on Twitter. We are twitaaa.reddit.com on the Reddits. We have show notes and past episodes always at our place on the internet, twit.tv/AAA, with our episodes appearing all over the place. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.